We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Kunkel. Brought to you by Fanbase Rustin, all tech, all the time. Also by Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. Live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. This is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Kunkel. Here are your hosts, Malcolm Butler and Dave Nitz.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Tech Basketball live here at the Doghouse Sports Grill on North Homer Street in Ruston. I'm Malcolm Butler. I'm joined by Brooke Storr. First half out, we'll talk Lady Texture basketball and take a look back at Saturday's game against Rice and take a look forward to the two road games this week at UTSA on Thursday and that at Western Kentucky on Saturday. And then at the bottom of the hour, it'll be Dave Nitz. He'll be joined by Eric Kunkel, and he'll talk Bulldog basketball. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Malcolm.
I was going to say, if we look tired, it's probably because we are tired. I know you're tired because you don't sleep during the season or don't eat very well. I'm tired because I got more than one sport going on right now. So between
it's
the
March.
Two of us, it's March. That's right. So between the two of us, not a lot of sleep. But
probably I also have two children.
That's true. You also are a mother. So I'm sure you didn't get a lot of sleep Saturday night. That was one on Saturday. You got the defending conference USA champion Rice Owls in here, and they were at full force, and I'm going to tell you what, played extremely well in so many areas of the game. Led that game. I'm going to throw some stuff out there that's not going to make you sick.
Oh,
you led the game for more than 30 minutes.
Yeah, took the lead at 12-10 in the first quarter and never relinquished it.
Yeah, they didn't lead
overtime.
Again until overtime and had a 10-point lead with about 7 minutes to play in regulation, and unfortunately went cold offensively. Only scored 2 points the rest of the way, and even then you had a 2-point lead with 14 seconds to play. You had a jump ball. Too bad the possession arrow wasn't pointing our direction. It was theirs. Kind of reminds me of the 1994 national championship game
brutal.
Against North Carolina. But you needed to defend an inbounds pass. They called a timeout, drew some stuff up, and unfortunately a little bit of a breakdown defensively. They got the wide-open layup. Even then, had 12 seconds, came down, got a couple of good looks from Amber Dixon. It just wouldn't fall. And it was one of those things But personally, when it went into overtime, I'm up there going, this is not what we wanted.
No. And honestly, even though we went to overtime, our players, their demeanor, you know, we've lost so many close games this year. I mean, this is six now where it's either come down to one possession or overtime. And, you know, that's just not a fun feeling, and we've had way too much of that. But even with that, I thought our players' demeanor the entire day was tremendous. Whether something really good had just happened, or they just scored four straight and we'd called timeout, they came to the huddle. You know, players that were coming, you know, from the bench to greet our players coming off the court were just positive. They were encouraging. It was next play, let's get a stop. You know, all those things. And even when we went to overtime, I felt, you know, I wanted to win in regulation,
sure,
obviously, but I still felt like our players believed they could win. And, you know, we've been in those situations so many times. And, you know, at some point it's going to turn. The table's going to turn. We've gone through that so much. You know, you hope that we've saved it all up for Frisco.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, you go back to that last possession, you know, those last 7 minutes, you were up 10, and, I think we got a little passive offensively. We're trying to run some clock, be a little more patient with our shot selection, you know, take shots later in the shot clock. And I thought we got some good looks. They just didn't go down. Dixon had a number of good looks during that time. We had two turnovers. We only turned the ball over, what, 11 times the game? Eight or 11.
Eight,
yeah.
Only eight.
So really good. I thought, yeah, we were great with the basketball, and three of those came in the first half. But I thought we were really good with the basketball in terms of, you know, because they run Princeton offense and they take a lot of possession offensively, a lot of time off the clock, you don't get as many offensive possessions. And we didn't, I think they turned it over, what, 11, 12 times?
Yeah.
We didn't gain a lot of possession. You know, we're plus three in the turnover margin. But we knew our possessions were going to be limited, and we had to make the most of them. Now, I thought we shot the ball extremely well because we took good shots. Our first three possessions offensively, I thought we took some tough shots. But after that, we really settled down. I thought executed really well. I thought it was for the first time that we've played the 6'9 Nancy Mulkey. And you can say what you want until you face it. She changes everything.
No doubt.
And you can go, oh, well, she's 6'9". She doesn't move that well. Well, yeah, she can stand at the free throw line and
still
block a shot at the rim.
Yeah.
So it changes things for you defensively, offensively, because of how their perimeter is able to guard. When she comes out of the game, we went right at their bigs, and we scored every single time. And I was really proud of our interior. But I thought Analar had a great day. She goes 10-7, shoots 50% from the field, but she – did not back down from that kid, and she shot it over. She didn't try to. She was really smart in her shot selection and the types of shots that she took against it. And I thought, for once in the 2 years that we've played them with her now, you know, our first 2 years here, we didn't lose to them. And last year, you know, they get her and it changes things defensively. And so we've lost to them, you know, these 2 years now. And I thought it was the first time that we've actually scored. We scored 47 there, and we were very poor offensively. And we are at 48 in the third quarter. And I go, well, guys, we may get to 50
right
today, you know. But I thought we really executed well offensively. I thought we got a little passive there during that time in the fourth quarter, about the last 7 minutes. But I still thought we had some good looks. They just didn't go down. The flip side, and it's what's come down for this group every one of these close games, if we need one stop. We needed one stop. We come out and they call a timeout, you know, talk about, you know, and the one thing that when you guard them on a baseline inbound, you've got to guard a little bit differently. You got to obviously pay attention to two things for that group. Not that their other players aren't important, but they're going to two people. They're going to Mulkey or they're going to Ogumike.
Sure.
Conference player of the year, Ogumike, that's going to make plays. She hit six threes all of conference play.
And she hit six a huge
threes
one there.
And
midway
shooting
through
the 17%. Yeah. And we're up eight, and she drills one because that's what a senior conference,
yeah,
player of the year does. We backed up. We're supposed to pressure on a ball screen early and then get under because we know she's going to the rim. And we backed up, and she hits it. And
Well, we're back here at Inside Tech Basketball. Sorry about that. A little bit of a technical difficulty. You were talking about
How we have to guard the inbounds. Yeah. And so normally we take our inbound, our player that's guarding the inbounder, our defender, and she is our help and takes care of anything that may come open backside.
Right.
Well, when you play Mulkian, if they run an inbound where they put her on the ball side block, you have to account for that. And so we have to take, and a lot of teams do this, and we've done it all day and hadn't had any problems with it, we have to take our inbound defender and slide her up and basically double her on the block. Well, we do that with Dixon, and then we have two others that come together, and it's not a screen initially. They're just cutting, and then they loop the kid back around and re-screen, and we have a player that decides she wanted to switch, and we didn't communicate it, and we guard Gumake and let her cut the freshman cut back towards the rim, and they get an open layup. And if Dixon is where she normally
is, she covers that.
She gets
sure.
that, you know. And, you know, we watched it today, and you know, it's – I sit there and, you know, when I can't sleep on Saturday night, should we go in zone? Should we have done this? You know, at some point you got to make a play. And at some point this group's going to be able to make a play in the critical moment when we got to have it, and then we're going to get a win. Just wasn't on Saturday.
No.
I thought we got two really good looks.
We did. Dixon,
the first one,
and then great job by Raizel getting an offensive rebound and finding Dixon again. And
well, I thought we'd go back one possession prior to that. We get the ball. We get a stop, and it's about a minute. We got a two-point lead. Dixon just hits a pull-up jumper in the paint.
Yeah.
They had tied it. We come down, take a lead again. And we go down and we get the stop. And I'm thinking, all right, we're under a minute. We're up two.
We can score here. Right.
We get a shot. Late shot clock's about 3 seconds. Anilar goes up and tips it, goes around three people, tracks it down, kicks it out to Raizel. We get 20 extra seconds. This is where that new rule really, as a coach, frustrates you because it gave them 10 extra seconds.
Sure.
And so instead of, you know, what ended up being 14 seconds could have been four. But we gave up a layup anyway.
Right.
So. But I thought there was tremendous effort on her part to get that extra possession. Then we couldn't score on that one. Anyway, Raizel, Dixon takes it. We get the wide open three. They go under the ball screen the way we thought they would. Dixon rises up, hits that. I mean, she's got 20 on the day. It's not like she hadn't played well. Just couldn't find it from three. Gets the three off from the top of the key. That thing goes, it rattles around, comes out. Rays hustles in, smallest player on the floor. We talked about today in film. She grabs a rebound, instinctively gets it right back to Dixon. And those are typically an offensive rebound three. You hit those at a 50 to 60% clip because they're usually open because they're really hard to contest. And, again, just a little bit off the mark. We actually had Anilar on the backside because Mulkey had gone up for the rebound. And if Ray's couldn't see her behind, if she could have dropped a pass off to her, it's a layup to win it. But just couldn't get it there. But, anyway, we go to overtime and – you know, they're probably going to get the jump. The odd thing is Raizel at the last minute moves, and the ball went
right
where she was. And I think we actually probably could have scored off that, but it didn't. And, again, it comes down to we've got to be able to make a play at a critical time, and this group just hasn't been able to do it. I thought Saturday's game was a microcosm our whole season. Get us on the brink, and then boom.
Yeah, Erica Gumake, again, you mentioned it, and I said it on the radio. We went the fourth quarter. I think she had 4 points, three
she
rebounds.
She had two shot attempts in the first half.
Yeah, and take one in the third. She had three shot attempts through three quarters, and I said, this kid, I'm telling you, watch her. She's going to start to take over.
Well, we talked about it. We're up, you know, up 10 in that fourth quarter, and we kept saying as a staff to our players, she's going to flip the switch. We got to block her out because that's what happens. She's savvy enough to go – if we're defending them well and she's not getting shot attempts, she's going to go find a way to get to the free throw line, or she's going to find a way to get an offensive rebound. And during that stretch, she posts up Walker, and we foul her, put her at the free throw line, gets her going a little bit. Then she gets an offensive rebound a couple of possessions later and, you know, cuts into it. She hits the three, and, you know, it's just that's what players of the year do. And, you know, give them credit. I thought their team responded, and, you know, but I, you know, I just – our players, they believe they can win. They're right there. We're so close, but I'm really tired of being so close, and we got to finish one of these off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got 14 from Grace and Bright, her and Darian McCutcheon honored before the game for Senior Day, and 10 each from Raizel. And, of course, you mentioned Anilar Robertson. I'm going to tell you what, again, I think she surprised a lot of people this year. We're talking about Anilar here, is what she's been able to do as a true freshman. You give that kid a couple more years and a couple off seasons and the weight room and all that, she's going to be really, really tough by the time she's a junior and
well,
a senior.
I think even next year of just having a summer in the weight room and just having experience. There's such a – I think the biggest time of growth is between their freshman and their sophomore years, because that whole anxiety of not knowing what to expect and every day is new and you don't know what's coming and – the whole thing of having gone through a year before and what it looks like to compete in the non-conference and then to be on the road and then to handle a quarter system and all that stuff for the first time, they get through that. And then I think that that's where they see – you see that big area of growth. The one thing that I love about her, and I don't know, I think we've talked about this off the air, but, you know, we go in that locker room after FIU on Saturday after we'd given up the lead. And they cut into it and actually took the lead.
Yep.
And then we responded with 11-0 run to end the game and win by 10. I said in the locker room, I said, what did you guys do for the first time when we got in a situation like that? And nobody said anything, and the freshman pipes up. We didn't quit. And, you know, to me, like, that, there's a lot of fight there. There's a lot of I want to win, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to help my team be successful, and I don't care if that what that looks like for me or my numbers. Whether I start, whether I don't. So she's coming off the bench. But, you know, I just like the buy-in and her ability to help our team win.
And, again, we got two games of the regular season left, then you go to the conference tournament next week. We're sure of making that. And, you know, you almost had your second win over two of the top four teams in this league. You've already beaten Middle Tennessee by 18.
And two of those that are projected to be in the NCAA
exactly.
tournament.
Exactly. So that tells you what this team is capable of. And again, like you said, hopefully we're saving it up for next week.
I hope so, because then I feel a heck of a lot better about some of these losses. Now, you know, I told the team today, and I may be jumping ahead of you here, but we still got two games to play. But the third year when we were at Northwestern State, the second year we won it, we were going into the end of the season. We lost our last two games. We lost at SFA, and then we turned around and lost a bad New Orleans team on senior day, and it was awful because that
senior day for y'all.
Yes. Ooh. It was bad. It was tough. And so we go in, we're 15-14 at that point, and we'd beaten Houston. We'd had some good wins, and we go in to the conference tournament. I'm thinking we're gonna be one and done, like we've lost them, this group just doesn't have it. And we show up and we win the first day, we win the second day, we win the third day in overtime, and then we win the championship and won four games in 4 days, end up 19-15, lose to Baylor in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And I didn't believe, but those kids believed,
right?
And that's what I think when I, you know, what my message to them today was, and you could see it in their eyes of, please tell me you don't believe that you can beat anybody in this league at this point. It's not us trying to convince you of that. You've just got to go finish it off. And I think they do. It's just we've been in those situations way too many times and haven't converted. We've got to convert one. And like you said, hopefully we're saving that up for Frisco.
Well, oh so close on Saturday. 73-60 was the final. 13-point difference in overtime does not tell you the true story of that ball game. When we come back, we'll take a look ahead. We'll be at UTSA on Thursday, Western Kentucky on Saturday. We'll talk about those two games. We'll be right back with more of Inside Tech Basketball. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Bulldog fans, come out to the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston on Monday nights at 6 p.m. to watch Eric Conkle and Brooke Storr talk Bulldog and Lady Texter basketball with hosts Dave Nitz and Malcolm Butler. Doghouse is just a few steps from Louisiana Tech campus and has been serving fan favorites for 20 years. Doghouse Sports Grill, the official watch party location for Louisiana Tech athletics. It's where the Bulldogs and Texters eat.
Hard work, experience, and dedication. Traits needed for success in both sports teams and medical teams. At Louisiana Pain Care, we are dedicated to treating your pain. Doctors Ledbetter, Gordon, Fort, and Ellis work hard to ensure they get you back to your life, whether it's playing a sport, playing with grandchildren, or just waking up without pain. Louisiana Pain Care wants you to live a life without limits. Ask your doctor today if Louisiana Pain Care is right for you, and check us out at lapaincare.com. That's lapaincare.com.
Super One Foods is right there with you in the stands at every La Tech Bulldog football game. Become a tailgating legend with all the super savings throughout the store.
Certified Angus beef, chips, and soft drinks at super low prices.
While you're there, register your child to become a First Kick kid and join Super One Foods as a proud supporter of the La Tech Bulldogs as they pounce the competition with a taste of victory. Register your child today and cheer on the Bulldogs with Super One Foods.
The Learfield IMG College Director's Cup, the highly recognized mark of distinction in college athletics across all divisions, both men's and women's sports. Follow your favorite team's pursuit for excellence in this prestigious annual award through the directorscup.com, USA Today, or L Directors Cup on Twitter. Learfield IMG College Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics since 1993.
Well, we're back for more of Inside Tech Basketball. Special thanks to loyal Louisiana Tech supporters Bert Davis and staff for serving up the best burgers in the area during tonight's Inside Tech Basketball. Make sure to come by and eat where the Bulldogs and the Lady Texters eat prior to the next home game. The Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs and the Lady Texters are always on. Now, Brooke, I'm going to find a box score. Here we go to UTSA on Thursday night, and we've already played them once this year here at our place.
You don't want to look at that box score. It's not very good.
Yeah, we're going to remind ourselves of the game. It was not very good. It was an 82-73 win by UTSA. They had a little freshman guard named Michaela Woods, who scored 27 points, had 10 rebounds. She was probably, her or the kid from middle, probably the odds-on favorites to be the freshman of the year this year. Woods, the kid for UTSA, tore her an ACL, about 2 or 3 weeks ago? So she is done for the year. So they're going to be a much different basketball team than what we saw at the Thomas Assembly Center way back in January.
Yeah, I think that, they haven't scored as well with Woods off the floor, but I think they've got some players. Quezada is very good as a freshman. They play her inside out. She's a difficult matchup. She plays with a great amount of energy. They've got some shooters around her. Carrington Donald has kind of moved over to the point and taken up those minutes for Woods since she's been out, and it's moved their rotation over a little bit. And I think they've got 8 healthy bodies right now, so they're a little bit worn down. But we know that's a tough place to play for us. We've lost there on a buzzer beater the last 2 years. Both of those have been the second game of a road trip after a late game in El Paso and then an early 1 o'clock tip on Saturday. So I'm hoping we play them on Thursday. We'll be a little bit different. But I think our team is ready. Obviously, with their motion offense, they do some things that will spread you out, and they really get to the free throw line. And we've got to rebound the basketball well against them and just not allow them to get anything easy in transition, take care of the basketball. And then we've got to go attack the glass and really try to get some things going inside. We go back, when you go back and watch that game, we started 2 bigs, and it was a bad matchup for us defensively to start. We just never got our feet under us defensively. We were up in the third. That fourth quarter, we couldn't get a stop.
You gave up 30 points in the fourth quarter.
We just couldn't get a stop. We fouled several times there at the end. But and going into the game, they were shooting right around 20% from three. They hit 8. Five of those in the first half. And then I think they were shooting 50-something percent from the free throw line as a team, and I think they ended up shooting like 78 for the game.
24 of 31,
and we just fouled them too many times. So that was pretty much the story of that. And we were very poor. I mean, our guard production in that game, if you look at, I think we were 3 of 24 with 4 of our perimeters, with Dixon, Raizel, Grayson, and Hawk.
Yeah, Kiana Walker was the only perimeter that really did much for
Mimi.
You. And 21 points. Loda was okay.
She had
14. Yeah, but that was a basketball game that, like you said, it kind of got away from them. They only had 8 players that dressed that night, if I remember, and 4 or 5 of them were true freshmen. I was really impressed with them coming away from that game. I know we didn't play exceptionally well.
No, but I think it's their best game of the year, obviously. But we got to defend better.
Following Thursday night, we will head to Bowling Green, Kentucky, to take on our old friend Western Kentucky, EA Diddle Arena, one of my favorite places to go.
I loved it as a player. I hated it as a head coach.
Right, they have very knowledgeable fan base there, much like here in Ruston, Louisiana. They love women's basketball up there. And once again, Western Kentucky has a very, very good basketball team this year.
Yeah, right now they're projected to be in the NCAA tournament, and they're first 4 in. And we've got to do a great job. It's going to be senior day, and they've got 4 seniors, 5 seniors, 4 that start, and 2 of those are 5th years. And so they're very experienced. I think they're one of the best offensive teams in the league. They're going to do some different things defensively, with their zone and their traps. We've got to be able to handle that. But it's always a difficult place to play. That's what I told Scott the other day. I said, I loved it as a player, never lost there as a player, but hadn't won there as a head coach. So we'd like to reverse those fortunes. But I think for us, we scored the bat. We were up 73-71 here against them with 2 minutes to go and just couldn't get a stop. And again, their three seniors, two seniors, and Elja Dewey, she's a junior now, really just made some play. I thought Creech was really good for them.
She was good in that game.
She pushed it in transition. They got some defensive boards, and then she pushed it. And she had not really asserted herself offensively much during conference play. And then her team needed her at that point, because I thought we defended, you know, decent. And she really made some key bats. She had a tough pull-up, and I thought we really guarded it well. But she nailed it, and then I think that kind of got them going. Then we gave up some offensive rebounds there late that I think was key, that allowed them to stretch the lead.
That game was a game we got to an awful start. We were down 12 after the first quarter.
And then took a lead at halftime.
15. We were down 15 with 6 minutes to play in the second quarter, and all of a sudden, I don't remember what the run is, but we went on a run
17-0.
Where we were actually up by three at halftime.
Yeah, I think we went 17-0 and took a three-point lead going into half, and actually had a chance to get it to five. We missed a shot there, felt like we got fouled. I'm sure I didn't agree with the officiating at some point. And felt pretty good about the situation we were in. Led most of the third quarter, too, I believe, and then had a two-point lead with 2 minutes to go, and just, again, couldn't finish it off. And, you know, it was a frustrating day for us.
Elja Dewey, she's a tough
kid
to guard. She's,
you know,
a big
she's
kid,
good.
She
I think
can do
Givens
a lot of
is really
things.
Good. Yep. They have Sherry Porter back now. She's been out for a couple weeks. So I think, honestly, what's her face?
Creech, Givens?
No. Brewer. Brewer, the other senior, had not played a whole lot and had not gotten going offensively until she played us. And then she got some offensive rebounds. And then Abdel Gawad
killed us on the glass.
She had 15 rebounds. 10 offensive.
Yep.
And she's like 5'8".
Yeah, she just plays hard.
Yeah, that's all it was. And, you know, it's funny how that works. But I thought, you know, Brewer really kind of got going offensively in that game, because it was the first time she got extended minutes because Porter was out. And then she had, I think she had 28 on Saturday against Middle Tennessee. They lost in double overtime in that game at Middle.
Yeah, that had been a fun game to watch. I think it was 107-103
was
the final.
I watched a little of it. I was still trying to lick my wounds
and
then be mom and watch Cooper play a little baseball Saturday night. So I had it on my phone, and I wasn't really paying too much attention. But I'll go back and watch that tonight as we prepare for them later in the week.
Well, I know you got these two regular season games left, but next week, Frisco, Texas, the Conference USA tournament starts Wednesday through Saturday. We know we will play Wednesday. We're not sure who we will play yet. Probably could be Middle Tennessee. It could be Charlotte. It could be UAB. There's about three or four different teams there.
A lot of scenarios still to be played out.
There are a lot of scenarios to still be played out. But and you've talked a little bit about it. But, you know, regardless of what your record is, everybody starts there 0-0.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing that we understand, is that I feel like even though we've lost, you know, we lost – those two games back-to-back by, you know,
total
of 4 points, you know, two games, so 2 points, and then lost to Rice. I feel like we've played some good basketball here over the last 3 weeks. We just haven't been able to finish it off, and I feel like if we can do that, I feel like we've had about as many experiences, and a lot of them have been painful, that we could have to prepare us, and now it's about going in and being able to do it at the most critical time of the year. And it's tournament time, and anything can happen. We want to finish well this week and really give ourselves some momentum going in.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. Again, Thursday night in San Antonio against UTSA, and then Saturday we will wrap up the regular season Saturday afternoon in Bowling Green, Kentucky against Western Kentucky. We will talk to you Thursday night from San Antonio.
Thanks, Malcolm. I just want to take a quick minute and thank all of our fans. I thought we've had great support at home this year, and I know that y'all have hung in there with us, and we've had some tough losses, and y'all have probably slept better than I have after them. But we appreciate that, and know that, you know, just stick with this team. We're going to continue to build, and these young kids are going to grow up, and hopefully we're a lot of better days ahead.
No doubt about it. When we come back, Dave Nitz will be joined by Eric Conkle. They'll talk Bulldog basketball. We'll be right back with more of Inside Tech Basketball. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
While other golf car manufacturers are just getting around to lithium batteries, EZ-GO leads the way. A new EZ-GO from Fairway Carts in Minden with a lithium battery delivers much longer battery life. Their batteries are maintenance-free, deliver consistent performance, and come with an unprecedented 8-year battery warranty. Choose the leader in lithium battery technology, EZ-GO, from Fairway Carts in Minden. Visit the showroom or call 371-CART.
At Century Next Bank, we don't just do business in our communities. We invest in them, and that means investing in you. We are here for all the moments in your life, from your very first car to the day you walk down the aisle, to the day you celebrate your retirement. We are here for all the moments in your life. Life's experiences that define you. When a bank becomes more than a checking account or a loan, we are here. Century Next Bank. What's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Bulldog fans, when you're looking for new La Tech gear, look no further than Fanbase Ruston. You can come in the store in historic downtown Ruston or shop from anywhere on our all-new website with even faster service. With over 70 different styles, you will not find a larger selection of tech gear anywhere. So for wherever you're shopping from, check us out at fanbaseruston.com. Fanbase Ruston, all tech, all the time.
Are physical limitations or pain impacting your ability to move, function, and enjoy life? If so, it is time to get physical. Physical Therapy Balance Centers of Ruston and Jonesboro is unlike any therapist clinic you've been to before. Our highly skilled, compassionate team of physical therapists are 100% focused on achieving optimal health and wellness for you so you can get back to living the life you enjoy. Let us talk to you about how we can help you love your life again. Physical Therapy and Balance Centers. Spelled different because we are different.
Welcome back to Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston. I'm Dave Nitz and Eric Conkle joining us now. A couple of things I want to talk about here before we get with Coach Conkle. The fact that Louisiana Tech's Kobe Williams, freshman, has been named Freshman of the Week in Conference USA. And for the job that he did against Western Kentucky, I just looking at the numbers, Kobe had played 25 minutes, 5 for 8 from the field, 2 for 4 from three-point range. Also had 9 rebounds as a 5'10" or 5'11" guy, however you want to measure him, ended up with 13 points. So our congratulations go to Kobe Williams for named Freshman of the Week in Conference USA. Had a couple of people also, Eric, asked me about baseball. Some of the folks thought we were going to do a baseball show at noon this week, but it won't be until noon next week. And our congratulations to the Tech baseball team sweeping a 4-game series from Maine. And also, Steele Netterville, the junior from Byrd, has been named Conference USA Hitter of the Week. Hit .556, 4 home runs, 2 doubles, 14 RBIs, had a slugging percentage of .591. And that kind of sounds like what you did in high school, huh?
I wouldn't call me a slugger, but I did like to hit. And they love baseball, excited for their team, and very, very excited for Coach Burrows and his club. So once our season's over, hopefully a long time from now, we can get out to outside and watch some ball.
Yeah, it was a little chilly there a couple of nights that we played over the weekend, but our congratulations to the fans that came out. Also a note about baseball. I don't know if folks know this or not. Kent Hassler, who was a pitcher at Louisiana Tech, has been like a graduate manager this year for the baseball team. Just yesterday or today, he signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he'll be going in spring training, so congratulations to him. That's his hometown, Chandler, Arizona, so I know he's happy about that. All right, let's talk a little bit about basketball. One game we played last week, and, boy, I tell you, that was a heartbreaker for everybody that was involved, the fans, the coaches, the players, the broadcaster, everybody. Boy, losing a game like that, 95-91 in overtime to Western Kentucky, that was a game that, you know, it just went up and down the floor almost the entire game, wasn't it?
It was a great college basketball game. We played probably our best basketball for about, 33 and a half minutes. That's what I told our team. And then we really couldn't get a stop down the stretch and the end of regulation. And of course, they made some great plays. We made some critical mistakes, but we played really good basketball in a hostile environment for a long time, and so many things to learn from. Of course, it's you hate learning after a really tough loss like that, but you know, we've got to be able to bounce back and get ready for this week.
Hollingsworth, 43 points, and he tied the game with, I don't know, 2 or 3 seconds, I guess, to go in regulation time. And he was well outside the three-point range, and he banked it in. And that's the kind of game it was.
Yeah, it was. You know, we gave up 5 threes in the last 6.5 minutes. Two of them went off the backboard. Two of them were very, very deep. But Hollingsworth is gifted, so gifted at getting to the free throw line. And as much as we want to work on how we slide, he's just got a knack for keeping you off balance. And he goes 17 out of 19 from the free throw line. He leads our league in getting to the free throw line. And we looked to do a lot of different things and run a lot of different guys at him. Just couldn't bottle him up enough, especially after only holding him to just 8 points the first time around. He was motivated to get us that time.
What do you have to do against a guy like Hollingsworth, who goes to the line so many times and he gives you so many different looks, especially driving with the basketball? And I can say this and you can't, but it just seemed like it was a lot of times that he would have been charged with a charging call instead of a blocking call on offense. I don't know how he gets by with it. What does he do differently than most players do?
He's just really, really special at making it look like you've got him, and then he gets you off balance. And the second that you come up to his body, he then hits you. You know, Dwayne Wade in the NBA had that type of gift too. He had a way of just putting you out of position enough, and then he'd create the contact and make it look like you foul him. And he did that all night long. He's been doing it his entire career. Like I said, he leads the league in getting to the free throw line by a mile. I mean, it's not even close to number two. He's done it all year long.
And, of course, they do it as a team too, don't they? Not only just Hollingsworth.
No, their whole team, that's a big part of their game. I think coming into our game, they had made 140 free throws more than their opponents had taken in conference play, which is remarkable. And you know, we did a good job for moments, but there was other moments where they get into the bonus, they're very, very dangerous. And as you can see in many of their games, teams will build leads in the first half of the half, and then once they get in the bonus, that's when they come storming back. And that happened on Thursday night.
Yeah, they got into the double bonus very, very quick in that second half, didn't they? I mean, Bulldogs, I know, got into the bonus, but not like they did.
No, and it's something that we've got to be able to keep working on. You know, we talk about moving our feet and guarding with our chest and being careful. And we had some really foolish fouls. We had some fouls that I didn't quite think were fouls.
Questionable.
But they can go either way, and it's always difficult on the road. But, you know, we've just got to find ways to get better and control what we can control.
You know, you look at that game. I'm looking at my sheet here. With 6 minutes 34 seconds remaining in regulation time, you had a 16-point lead. You look at that now in the rearview mirror, I guess. 2020 is your good rearview mirror. What would you have done differently at that particular point?
Well, I would have loved to have not fouled as much. We put them on the free throw line 5 times in regulation there. They made all 10. They made 5 3-point shots. You know, and then we scored enough to win. There was 11 possessions to end that game after the last media, and we scored well over 1 point per possession, which is always our goal. We just did not stop them. We needed to defend better. We gave up 4 offensive rebounds. So I know you asked for one thing, Dave. I think it gave you about 6.
That's all right.
But that's what it took for them to come back and beat us. And they had so many things go right. We had several things go wrong, and they capitalized on all of them.
I thought, you know, a couple of guys, Gordon and Muhammad, of course, played with too many fouls, I guess, you know, and that really hurt us, too, because you had to really actually put Oliver Powell at the number 5 at spot, and he was really not used to that. Always played it in his career.
Yeah, you know, both those guys picked up fouls early. We built a lead in the first half, and then they came storming back, which, again, is a big part of what they do. And not having those guys on the floor, it hurts us. Those are the guys that we're used to playing with a lot. They both have grown all season long into important roles. But we were able to stem the tide and build a lead again in the second half and do some really nice things that we've got to be able to repeat more often and stay consistent with.
You know, you had, one, two, three, five players in double figures. That's unreal. Usually you get five players in double figures, you win a game, don't you?
Yeah, and that's been typically what we've done. And but it was a scoring game. You know, both teams scored the ball very well. And, of course, they scored just a little bit more than us at the end.
Well, the free throw line was the difference, though. They hit 32 of 36 from the free throw line. And the Bulldogs hit 16 of 23. And it's hard to overcome that adversity. I don't care what you're doing on the, you know, offensively.
Well, we told our team when we practiced on Saturday, there's a very interesting stat where, you know, naturally we want to feel like, hey, why are we fouling so much? Where is that coming from? Well, we're right around the middle of the league, and we're pretty aggressive defensively, but we're eighth out of 14 teams when it comes to putting people on the free throw line, but we're dead last in defending the free throw, meaning teams are shooting 78% against us. We're fouling good free throw shooters, and they just happen to shoot great the nights that they're playing us from the free throw line. So we've got to be able to limit better the number of free throws that they're getting, and that comes in a lot of different areas, things that we've got to work to keep teams off the free throw line.
And, of course, the Bulldogs shoot 66% at the free throw line, so that's a discrepancy there.
It's a great discrepancy, and that's one of the reasons why you know, our strategy might adjust from time to time in certain situations, because we are inconsistent at the free throw line. And it's not that we've got one guy that's 80% every night and another guy that's 60% every night. But we're just a little bit all over the place with each guy. And it's something that when I left practice at 6:20, the assistants had our guys shooting free throws right now. So it's something we do every day. We just got to keep getting better at it.
You know, another thing, too, and I don't know exactly what you guys were talking about. I know when we got back in after the game, the coaches were all huddled up at the airport in Ruston where we were able to charter and get out of here and come back. I don't know what the coaches were all talking about that evening, but I'm sure you were just going over the mistakes that you made.
Well, it's mistakes. It's also planning and what's coming up and what we've got to do. And, you know, it was 1:30 in the morning there, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're talking in the parking lot, because we're also in final exams too, and I know that was a topic of what guys had to get done and making sure everybody was on schedule. This is a very busy time for us, and academics are the most important. We've got another day of them to make sure that we finish up strong.
You know, Derek Jean is starting to really take his senior role. He had 16 points the other night against Western Kentucky. You know, he's taking that senior leadership at heart right now.
Well, the guys know that, and they understand that we're coming down the home stretch. And for those four seniors, this is their last week at the TAC. We've got two home games here. There's a lot of lasts that are coming up. And we want this season to go absolutely as long as possible, as do our seniors, as do our juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. But, you know, I'm proud of the job that our seniors have done in leading in all different types of ways.
You know, looking at a couple of things, actually, North Texas, with a win over the weekend, they defeated Western Kentucky, so they clinched the regular season championship and that number one seed in the tournament. And now Western Kentucky, they have one more game left in the bonus play, and that's against FIU in Miami. So the Bulldogs and Western Kentucky, Western Kentucky is 12-5. Tech is 11-5 in the league. You know, you look at it, Bulldogs could win the last two games, would end up 13-5. If Western Kentucky loses that game at Florida International, the Bulldogs would claim second place. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So that's what you're looking for right now, get that higher seed that you possibly can.
No question. I mean, we want to control what we can control. And first, that's play a very good FIU team on Wednesday who just went to Charlotte after losing to them by about 26 earlier in the year. Beat them by 15. So, you know, we've got to take care of business this week. Starts with FIU, and then, of course, we need a little bit of help from FIU on the back end to jump into that second spot.
And I was looking at the standings, and Kay McGuire, and I had not realized this, Middle Tennessee at 3-13. They're the only team that is eliminated right now from the conference tournament. They cannot because the bottom two teams, which are Middle Tennessee and Southern Miss still has an opportunity to get into the conference tournament, but Middle Tennessee has no chance at all. Is that correct?
That's what I understand. Okay. I know Middle Tennessee is there at the bottom, and the others are really bunched together. And
right.
Some have two games left, some have one, but there's still a lot that can happen this week, and we'll have everything will be much clearer come Saturday night.
Our special thanks to loyal Louisiana Tech supporter Bert Davis and the staff here at the Doghouse Sports Grill, serving some of the best food. And make sure to come by and eat where the Bulldogs eat prior to the next Bulldog or Lady Texters home game. Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. Back with more on Inside Tech Basketball. This is the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Loyalty is the foundation of great relationships. At Origin Bank, relationship banking is not just a term we use. It's a way of doing business that's been at the heart of our company for over a century. Louisiana Tech and Origin Bank have a long history of partnering to improve our communities in North Louisiana and beyond. Origin Bank is the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics and an ever-loyal community partner. Origin Bank and Louisiana Tech, a winning team. Bank Original, member FDIC.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Welcome back for more Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston. Along with Eric Conkle, the head coach, I'm Dave Nitz, and the Bulldogs have a couple of games coming up this week starting Wednesday night. A little unusual. Usually we play Thursday and Saturday, but play a Wednesday night at 6:30 against FIU, a team that the Bulldogs were able to hang on and win by a score of 60-57. If I'm not mistaken, isn't that the game that Derek Jean blocked the three-point shot with no time remaining or right at the end of the game to win that game or hold on to win it? Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, they had the ball with 6.2 seconds left out on the side after dribbling around and trying to find a shot. They called timeout and ran a little flare screen that Amari got over the top of, and then Derek made a great block right at the end of regulation to get the win.
FIU is 18-11 overall, 9-7 in conference play. Have you seen anything maybe different as far as FIU, way they're playing right now, than they did just two or three weeks ago? Probably not. I mean, this close to playing each other.
Well, it's interesting. After we played them on that Thursday night, they went to Southern Miss on the 15th, and their really good big guy, Osage, number 34, leads the country in shot blocking. He sprained his ankle in the first minute of the game at Southern Miss. Missed that game. They end up losing. He's such a presence for them. And then they did not play the first Saturday a bonus play, so they had off almost, I think, 11 days.
Oh, my.
And their point guard, Antonio Day, who leads the conference in assists, had the flu, did not play. They lost to North Texas. So they hadn't had their full team those two games, but then they got together at Charlotte, their entire team, and really played well, winning by 15. They're throwing the ball inside. Trajan Jacob really shot it well from three. Of course, they've got Devin Andrews, their leading scorer. they're a really good basketball team. They got a little bit snake bitten with injuries and illness those two games, but we've got a really good team coming in here on Wednesday. And having already played them here, they'll come in with a lot of confidence. Having it been such a close game, we're going to have to play a very good basketball game to come away with a win.
Yeah, any time that a team comes close to winning on the road and you turn around and have to play them again at home, you know, they were on the road again, it has to give them a little confidence coming in here again on Wednesday night.
I would think so. I mean, you're just comfortable. You know, we had it before. And other teams you've seen in the league where they've gone to a place a second time and you just feel more comfortable in your surroundings. And we've got to do everything we can to make them uncomfortable on Wednesday night.
That was the same thing I recall last year at FAU. You know, we lost during the, you know, in the regular season. I had to play them in the bonus in Boca Raton and won that game.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into it. I mean, just playing a team for the second time, you feel some comfort. And we had that with North Texas. We you know, played them and lost a tight one here at home, but going to their place, we just felt better the second time around and had a were more consistent. And same thing with Western Kentucky. We played much better there the second time around, even though we fell a little short. I have no doubt FIU is going to come in here confident and ready to go, especially after the game they just played.
Yeah, there was several games played on Sunday this past week in that bonus play. As you mentioned, FIU defeated Charlotte 67-52, a 15-point victory for the Panthers. And North Texas in overtime got by Western Kentucky 78-72. That game was at North Texas. Also in the league, Old Dominion defeated Florida Atlantic 85-80, another overtime game. UTSA 66-59 over UAB. Rice defeated Middle Tennessee 77-66, and UTEP 75-56 winner over Southern Miss. So Southern Miss got hot there for a couple of two or three games. All of a sudden, they just kind of fell off the scale, so to speak.
Well, we know UTEP's a tough place to play.
Yeah, it is.
And Southern Miss has got a couple more opportunities coming up. And that's the thing about this bonus play is everybody's playing teams like themselves in the standings where you're finding a lot of really close games. And, of course, finding some games where a team might stretch it out a little bit at home. But a lot to play for here in this last week. And I know we talked as our team. We're trying to get better and better. We're trying to in less than 2 weeks of Selection Sunday. But no game is more important than this game on Wednesday and our practice today. And I know everybody else in the league is feeling the same way.
You know, I've talked to a lot of the broadcasters who talk to their coaches like I do. And they're all in agreement that really nobody hopes, or everybody hopes, that the bonus play is no longer in existence next year. Do you agree to that?
I mean,
if you had a vote.
I think that it's there's a lot more positives to maybe go to a set schedule so that we can plan and do some things. I do see some positives with the bonus play. It does create a little bit of excitement when you're in that top pod and you get a chance to climb the ladder. But I also think that the travel and the different parts of the bonus play at this time of year is a real challenge. But we'll see. You know, there's our athletic directors, our presidents, there's a lot of different people that are going to be involved in that decision.
Yeah, just like last week, traveling to Western Kentucky. I know Josh Wolf, your director of basketball operations, trying to get hotel rooms and get travel plans and all that. I mean, right at the last moment, it's very difficult and also becomes very expensive, too. People don't realize that.
Well, we typically book our travel once their schedule comes out. And that conference schedule will typically come out in September, but we're booking our non-conference games. We try to do everything months in advance if we need to fly so we can have our first be the first people in line when we're trying to fly to Monroe or Shreveport. But you know, we try to be as proactive as possible, but you know, you're not allowed to do that in the bonus play portion. But it's just different. You know, we're playing one game a week here up until this week. That has been helpful for a couple of our guys that have been banged up, but we're gonna lace them up and play whenever they tell us to.
Well, the one thing about the bonus play, too, is, like you say, not knowing when you're going to play or where you're going to play. Also, a lot of teams, as far as the senior night is concerned, I know that's a big deal for the players, no doubt about it, especially the seniors. But you had to have senior night your last regular scheduled game, so to speak, on the calendar. You couldn't wait until you found out where you were going to play that last game.
Yeah, we chose not to because we had, you know, we didn't want to have two games during the week where some of the families couldn't get off work on short notice and make it up, and especially with, you know, Day-Day's mom from Baltimore and Derek's family from Miami, and you know, Mo had friends and family coming from Alabama and Tennessee, and of course the Powells from Dallas or from Rowlett. They had a little bit quicker of a drive, but still, to give people a chance to plan. So we chose to do that, but you know, we tell our guys all the day, every game is senior day. So you know, we're gonna celebrate them no matter what. This is our last week of home games, and we certainly hope everybody will come out and support this team.
Where the Bulldogs are on the road, the Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game watch party destination. Call today to make your reservations for away games, because this is the place to be. The Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. We'll be back to wrap it up on Inside Tech Basketball. This is the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Have you noticed more and more families in your neighborhood have EasyGo carts from Fairway Carts in Minden? That's because they've found out how much fun and how convenient an EasyGo multi-passenger cart is. Why not join them? Fairway Carts has a good selection of EasyGo gas and electric multi-passenger carts in many styles and colors, with a whole slew of custom accessories. Visit the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden or call Fairway Carts at 371-CART.
At Ruston Eye and Vision, Dr. Brad Anders is here to meet all of your eye care needs. We do it all, from glasses and contacts to diabetic eye exams, glaucoma, redness, or dry eyes. At Ruston Eye and Vision, we prescribe Zeiss eyeglass lenses for the clearest optics and the highest quality of vision. Dr. Anders is happy to see patients of all ages, including infants and children. Call Ruston Eye and Vision today at 318-232-6552 to schedule an appointment. Or just stop on by our office in the new expansion of Ruston Commons on Farmerville Highway, north of I-20 in Ruston.
A great smile can be your most attractive feature, helping you express health, success, and sincerity. This is Dr. Paige Valentine. At Trenton Dental Center, our goal is to help you have a winning smile by providing you with superior dental care in a relaxed, friendly environment. From toddlers to seniors, our experienced staff at Trenton Dental Center welcomes you. Trenton Dental Center, located at 1605 North Trenton in Ruston, and online at trentondentalruston.com.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Welcome back to more Inside Tech Basketball, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill here at Ruston, as we wrap up this show. And as Elton so eloquently said, that we're not sure about next week right now. We're not sure. On my calendar, I have both baseball and basketball next Monday, but I've had some people say no basketball show. And Eric, you said y'all are going to be traveling on Monday night, so I don't know how all this is going to work out. I guess we'll find out later.
Yeah, well, we're gonna go with Kane and figure this out. But you know, we could have a chance to travel there on Monday night to get up to Frisco. We have a practice time on Tuesday, and of course, we just got to see how this all plays out with seeding and everything else of when we could play. But again, big week this week, and a lot of things will get a lot clearer after Wednesday, and then even more clear, of course, on Saturday night.
You know, the game on against Charlotte, 6 o'clock on Saturday now. All of the Saturday games we've played this year have been 4 o'clock. Why 6 o'clock this Saturday?
We have graduation in the morning at the TAC on Saturday, and we're not stopping that. So we haven't had enough time to get the gym ready and be ready to go that night.
Hey, I have to say, the day that I graduated here at Tech, I was actually on the stage at Arlington, Texas, when we played UTA at their old place. So my graduation, I was broadcasting a game, so, you know, why can't the other people make adjustments, huh?
Well, that was one person, Dave. We're trying to get a couple thousand people graduated, so.
Oh, boy. Charlotte coming in, and a very good defensive team on Saturday. No question about that.
They are. And, you know, we shot the ball very, very well that night against them, and so did they. It was a game that we really felt like was going to be a low-scoring game where scoring could really be tough to come by, but both teams really shot it well. They're a very good team. They went to Western and won at the buzzer the time before we played Western, and then, of course, they had a very difficult game against a hot FIU team last night. So, but every team we're going to play the rest of the year is very, very good, and no doubt FIU will be on Wednesday and Charlotte on Saturday.
Well, we want to mention, too, that we thank all the fans that have come out to the Doghouse. Again, we don't know whether we'll have a show next Monday or not. We'll just have to wait and see. But and all the, you know, the folks that came out for all of our home games, you know, we want to thank all of our fans for that.
Well, we can't do it without our fans, and we can't do it this week without you. We encourage everybody, bring your friends, bring your family. We will have class out of session, so we won't have our students. So we need everybody in North Louisiana to come on out and support this team. A lot to play for in these last 2 weeks as we lead into the conference tournament, but big games Wednesday and Saturday. We need everybody's help.
And that's, you know, that's, I guess, the bad thing about the quarter system. You know, if you were on a semester system, you'd still have the students here. But now, you know, they will not be because of the quarter system. They're gone.
Yeah, they're going to be we finish up tomorrow, and then students go away. But I know we're going to have, you know, plenty of other marketing initiatives and other things going on to make it a fun environment for everybody. And, of course, you know, we're going to be ready to go. And our guys really got after it today, got another day of prep tomorrow. And then Wednesday, ready to play FIU. So big games for us, and looking forward to seeing everybody out.
FIU Wednesday at 6:30, Charlotte at 6 o'clock on Saturday. Hope you'll be there to see the Bulldogs in the final two home games of the season. Our thanks to Eric Cockle, the head coach, Elton, our engineer here at the Doghouse, Kendrick back at 97.7 Sports Talk, and Kane McGuire, Media Relations for Tech Basketball. I'm Dave Dentz for head coach Eric Cockle. So long, everybody.
Live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, Inside Tech Basketball has been brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Fan Base Rustin, all tech, all the time, and by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.